I want to read some scripture this morning from the book of Luke, chapter 24. And it's a wonderful day to celebrate, and that is the resurrection of Christ. And the resurrection of Christ is central to the message of the cross. Amen. There can't be a resurrection without a death, and there can't be an eternal life without a resurrection, because that's where Jesus conquered death and gave us eternal life, guaranteed eternal life. As a matter of fact, Jesus said in the scripture, he said, I have the authority to lay down my life and I have the authority to take it up again, which he did. Thank God for it. Amen. Luke chapter 24, verse 1. Let's read together. Now on the first day of the week, very early in the morning, they and certain other women with them came to the tomb bringing the spices they had prepared. But they found the stone rolled away from the tomb. Then they went in and did not find the body of Jesus. And it happened, as they were greatly perplexed about this, that behold, two men stood by them in shining garments. Then as they were afraid and bowed their faces to the earth, they said to them, Why do you seek the living among the dead? He is not here, but is risen. Remember how he spoke to you when he was still in Galilee, saying, The Son of Man must be delivered in the hands of sinful men and be crucified, and the third day rise again. And they remembered his words. Let's pray. Thank you, Father, Lord, for your word today. I pray that your word would speak to the heart of every person in here. And I pray, Lord, may your Holy Spirit operate as you wish today. God, we ask it in Jesus' name. Amen. You may be seated. I would like to entitle the message today is just from a short part of a verse that's in there. The question asks, why do you seek the living among the dead? We'll make that the title of the sermon today. You see, Christianity is built upon the work, Christ's work at the cross, but it isn't complete without the resurrection. Jesus conquered sin, conquered its penalty, which was the death penalty. And Jesus conquered death in God's redemption plan. And today we celebrate a risen Savior. Praise God. Not a Jesus that's still on the cross and still suffering, for he suffered once for our sins. But he rose again from the dead. Praise the Lord. He completed the work. And we celebrate the risen Savior. We should be joyful because eternal life has been given to all who believe and make the decision to live for God. And Jesus said, in the book of Revelation, chapter 1, verse 18, he said, Behold, I am he who lives and was dead, and I am alive forevermore, and I have the keys of hell and of death. And so we know that Jesus had it all, has it all. Praise God. He's got the authority, had the authority to die and rise again from the dead, and has the authority and the power to give eternal life to whosoever will. So we don't serve a dead Jesus today. We serve a risen Christ, an exalted Savior who is at the right hand of the Father, for you and I. Praise God. Let's notice first that without the resurrection, life is pretty empty. And if I just came to church today just to be religious, that would be one thing. But I'm not here because I'm religious. I'm here because Jesus is alive and true and well and real. And this gospel of the kingdom is real. Praise the Lord. And so as the people came to the tomb that day, they were expecting to find Jesus' body there. And if you can overlook the play on words, there was nobody there. But they came expecting to find death. And in the other Gospels, two guards that had been sent to guard the tomb were passed out. And the stone with the Roman seal had been broken and rolled away, which was against Roman law. But the seal had been broken and the stone was rolled away. And they found an empty tomb. The angelic announcement was, they stood by them, two men in shining garments. And they asked the question, why do you seek the living among the dead? You see, many people come to church expecting to find life. They should. And when you come here, you should find the people that are alive. And if you're going to sleep through the sermon, don't snore too loud, okay? Okay. Amen. But anyway, But many places there's no excitement or enthusiasm, a going through the emotions mentally that changes nothing. And I remember a few years back I was in a church and somewhere between here and the North Pole, so you can't guess where it was. But my wife and I and sons, we stopped to have church there. We were on our way back from a vacation or from a family visit somewhere. And we went in a church, and it was one of those, there's the only one we could find on the way. And so we just stopped at it. I won't mention the denomination, doesn't matter. But we went to that church service, and it was not lively at all. I mean, it was cold enough in that place to hang pork. Anyway, so we went on. But you know, when we come to church to worship God, Christ is alive. He's not dead. That doesn't mean we have to act a certain way. But the response with us is to worship God. We may lift our hands and praise the Lord. Amen. People here may speak in tongues to worship God in the Spirit. Amen. I'm not scared of what people are going to do. Well, I'll rephrase that. I'm not scared of what God's going to do. But I believe that we can be alive and well. I believe we can be excited and enjoy worshiping God. I'm excited about the heaven I'm going to. Praise the Lord. Aren't you glad that you're not, that there's an option there? Praise the Lord. You don't have to enter eternity without God. You don't have to live this life without peace in your heart. But you can enter eternity knowing that Christ is risen. He's my Savior. I've been saved, born again of His Spirit, and I belong to Him today. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. There are many examples of empty lives today that do not have Christ. You know, when God created the heavens and the earth, the Bible says the earth was without form and void, and darkness was upon the face of the deep. That described the conditions by which the earth was created. But when God came on the scene, life developed from there on. And we know we could go through the things that God created. We know that He created all things, animals, beasts, and some I'm not sure why He created, but He created them. It's none of my business. I don't know why He created fire ants, but anyway, He did. So that's He answers to nobody. Amen. But you see, God looked upon an earth that was empty and void. It had no life, and everything that God did brought life to the earth. But there are empty lives today. There are lives without form and void, no purpose, just an empty life. And you take religion by itself is empty. Religion without God or without Christ, it has no life. It offers no true hope. Let me give you an example here. The Allah of Islam is definitely not the God of the Bible. Islam is empty because there is no forgiveness of sins in Islam, and they can't imagine God having a son, so there's no son of God in Islam. And it is a religion that's built upon works. It offers no eternal hope. A life without hope, without any promise of eternal life, except you might be lucky and done enough things for Allah that you somehow have an afterlife. My friend, that is an empty religion, and it's really empty. And I don't have anything against Islamic people. It's not them, it's what they believe that I have a problem with. But I tell you, they can be saved and born again of God's Spirit. Jesus died for them just like He died for you and I. We have many missionary reports saying where people are saved, born again of God's Spirit, and turn their back on the God of Islam and worship the one true God that there is, and are saved and living for God and on their way to heaven today. That's what God can do. Hallelujah. And so we don't have to worry about Islam. You know, we might ask the same question, why would we seek the living among the dead? But in Christ, there is forgiveness of sins. There is deliverance from the guilt and fear of death and hell. Praise God. And Jesus promised eternal life and eternal dwelling in heaven. I think I can go with that. Praise the Lord. It's not an empty life living for God. We live for our hope. Praise God. Eternal hope is ahead of us. The best is yet ahead for the child of God. Amen. You may have failed in other places in your life. You may have done things you're ashamed of. And if you have, and God's convicted you, you ought to repent, because God's got greater things for you. God wants to give you eternal life. It's God's will for you to be saved. It's not God's will that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance. That doesn't automatically mean that every person on earth just goes to heaven. It means we have to accept what Jesus did on the cross, confess our sins, and ask Jesus to come into our heart, amen, to repent of our sins, turn our back on a sinful life, and he'll give you the power to say no to sin and the power to live for him and walk with him. Praise the Lord. So I'm glad that God gives us hope. His son, Jesus from heaven, whom he raised from the dead, even Jesus who delivers us from the wrath to come. And there is wrath to come. And God has done everything possible to save us from being part of the wrath of God. God wishes to pour out his judgment on no one, but people make the choice of whether they want to live for God or not live for God. And thereby they choose whether they want the judgment of God or the mercy of God. And Jesus did all he did on the cross, and Jesus gave up heaven's greatest treasure. God gave his greatest treasure when he gave his only begotten son on the cross, because he didn't want you to perish eternally. He wanted you to have means by which you could be saved, born again of his spirit, and live for him and spend eternity with God. It is amazing that God chose you and I to spend eternity with. This is the God that created the universe, and no doubt universes that we have no idea of, as God has been eternally existent. He never began, and he will never end. God is eternal. And surely you want to share eternity with him, or he wants to share it with you. Praise the Lord. And so we are a people that are on our way to heaven. Praise God if you know Christ. If you don't know Christ, you're not on your way to heaven, but you can know him. As a matter of fact, things down here, God gives us so much hope that he writes in his word, he says, really, your citizenship is in heaven, from which also we eagerly wait for the Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ, who will transform our lowly body that it may be conformed to his glorious body, according to the working by which he is able even to subdue all things unto himself. If you're a child of God, you're living for God, God says your citizenship really is in heaven. We're in this life for a little while. I've not found anybody or anywhere that's able to make life extend and to go on forever and ever in the physical life. Amen. There's nobody. But God offers eternal life. The thing that people want the most is eternal security, eternal dwelling. And there is security as we walk with God. There's no eternal security if you're not living for God. But if you are living for God and walking with God in the Spirit, then that's where your security is. Praise the Lord. And so we know that God has place and plan for us. But like the earth, originally was without form and void, life without Christ is without form and void. It's empty. Human reasoning leaves life empty. I have a book. I have more than one. One I think the most of is right here. Okay. But an atheist by the name of Lee Strobel wrote a book called The Case for Christ. And it's interesting because Lee Strobel was an avowed atheist. He didn't believe nothing. Man. He believed that all reality is visible, explainable, humanly reasonable. And he believed that all places such as heaven, hell, or the judgment of God is simply imagination and void of common sense. Lee Strobel was spiritually dead. And he was a very talented reporter, but he was lost. And he was seeking life among the dead when he had that kind of mentality, atheist mentality. In his thinking, he denied there being such a thing as forgiveness of sins or any reality of a true God. He did not believe in the resurrection of Jesus Christ because he couldn't see it and he couldn't see proof there. Even though the Bible states that Jesus was seen alive after his suffering for over 500 people at one time. And so he began to explore this out. And Mr. Strobel began to delve deeper and deeper, trying to disapprove the existence of a God in Christ. However, his wife went to church one day, invited by a friend, and he didn't ever darken the church house door. He wouldn't go to church because because he didn't believe anything that Christianity stood for. But his wife went to church one day. Eventually, through the witness of another believer there, she gave her heart to Jesus, and it was quite a day when she came home to tell him what she had done. Because he was convinced there was no Christ, there was no forgiveness of sins, there was no resurrection, there was no eternal life. He just believed when you died, that was it. And he believed, because he couldn't explain what he couldn't see, explain, or have human reasoning for. But his wife and people at the church began to pray for him. After a while, he searched over. As a matter of fact, he went to major medical doctors talking about eternal life and if there's any way that life could be extended and all that. Of course, you know, they couldn't extend life. But one doctor told him, no, this physical life won't go on forever. But he said, I've seen people die and I know there's something beyond this. And God, the Holy Spirit, began to deal with Lee's heart. Began to talk to his heart till he came to the place that he could no longer in reality reject the idea that Jesus rose again from the dead. He made the step one day to believe that Jesus died for his sins and rose from the dead. And he's a changed man today. Praise God. He came to faith in Jesus Christ. He is a born-again believer and lives for God and is in the ministry of Christ today. He is no longer empty. His life is no longer without form and void. He is alive because of Christ. Christ made himself real. He no longer seeks the living among the dead. Amen. He came to know the living Christ. There's much written about the resurrection in the New Testament. Praise God. At the church at Ephesus, there were people there that needed God in the city of Ephesus. They desperately needed God, and so God built a church there. God provided a church there. Paul the apostle went, and God used him to establish a church at Ephesus. But you see, the church is about life. You and I are people of life. In the Bible, like the Bible says about the church in Ephesus, we were dead in our trespasses and sins. Because you see, there's only one way you can go if you're in your sin. Is death is the end, eternal death, the eternal separation from God. You don't want to do that. And Paul wrote to the church at Ephesus, and he says, "In you he made alive, who were dead in trespasses and sins, which you once walked according to the course of this world, according to the prince of the power of the air, that would be the devil, the spirit who now works in the sons of disobedience, among whom also we all." Once conducted ourselves in the lust of the flesh, fulfilling the desires of the flesh and the mind, and were by nature children of wrath. That's the kind of people that God made a church out of there. Because you see, you and I and sinners is the only thing God's got to save and to make a church out of. And he wishes to change your life and my life and the life of others. And it says here, but God, who was rich in mercy, because of his great love with which he loved us, even when we're dead in trespasses, has made us alive together with Christ. By grace you have been saved. And I thank God for grace. For by grace you have been saved. It is the work of God, through faith. It is the gift of God, not of works, lest anyone should boast. For we are his workmanship, created in Christ Jesus unto good works. Praise the Lord. So it's grace that saved us. And that is what saved us. And for God to take somebody like me or you, did I exclude anyone? Okay. It is an act of God's grace. Hallelujah. And I've heard people say, I can't believe God would ever save that thing. But he saved this thing. He saved us. He saved me. And he's willing to save whosoever will. You would think that somebody that wrote, you know, a large portion of the New Testament, God could never save somebody like Saul of Tarsus, but he did. I mean, he was a persecutor of the church. He drugged Christians off to prison. He cast his vote against them for them to be executed for their faith in Christ. But he met God on a Damascus road one time, where God met him. He was a changed man, and from that day on, he preached what he once persecuted. Amen. He became a born-again believer, greatest changed man, became the greatest preacher that we know of in the New Testament, and he lived for God and served God from that day on. That's what God can do to a life. Let me ask you today, is your life empty? Or have you reasoned God away from your life? Do you believe that you will one day stand before God and give an account of what you have done with Jesus Christ? Because you see, everybody does something with Jesus Christ. To not receive him as your Savior is to reject him. And so everybody either receives Christ or rejects Christ. Everybody either believes and receives what he did on the cross for their sins and his resurrection, or they reject Christ and say, I don't want no part of it. My friend, I think God gave us this thing called common sense. We need to do the right thing with Jesus Christ. Amen. I think you want to live forever and go to God's heaven and be there where there is neither sickness, sorrow, pain, or death. I think you want to be there. We've seen nothing but that in our world today, but God has prepared a place. Jesus said, I prepare a place for you. And if I go and prepare a place for you, I will come again and receive you to myself, that where I am, there you may be also. Heaven wasn't created just for angels. If it had, if some of you and I wouldn't be going there. Amen. But God created it for humanity, really, for mankind. Jesus said, I go to prepare a place for you. There are two places that are prepared. Jesus said that hell was prepared for the devil and his angels. Jesus said, I prepared a place in heaven for you. That's God's plan. People go to hell because they choose to reject Christ and choose to go the way of Satan. And so there's not three choices, there's two. Amen. There's not many options. It's not going to go before the Supreme Court. Amen. God has made the way, and you and I have to receive it or reject it. That's all we can do. Not only the cross, but a resurrection. Many are quick to look at the cross, which is central to Christianity. You can't get past the cross. It's there. Amen. Paul said to the church at Corinth, he said, for the preaching of the cross is foolishness to those who are perishing, but unto us who are being saved, it is the power of God. So you can't get away from Christ and dying on the cross. Because without the blood of Christ, there is no payment for sin, because sin incurred the death penalty. The wages of sin is death. But you see, Christ's work on the cross is not complete without a resurrection. There has to be both. Praise the Lord. And I've seen people, you know, we can hang crosses all day long, and I thank God for the cross, and we should. And I don't have anything against people having crosses in their house. Thank God for it. It reminds us of what Jesus did. But friend, there's a resurrection that goes along with that. Jesus didn't have to do the work. He completed the work fully when he rose again from the dead. And so there's great proof of the resurrection. We know that 500 people saw Jesus alive. Also, you and I today who have been born again, we are proof of his resurrection. When you see God change somebody's life and make them a new creation, even though they still have faults and failures of themselves, they're not the person they used to be when they got saved and born again of God's Spirit. God made a change in their life, made a turn in their life. They are different people now than they were. That's what God can do in a life. Therefore, if anyone is in Christ, he is a new creation. Old things are passed away and all things are become new. Praise the Lord. I know there's a teaching and a preaching out there that you don't have to resist sin anymore and that you can sin all you want to because you're covered by grace. Let me tell you something. The grace of God that bringeth salvation hath appeared unto all men, teaching us that denying ungodliness and worldly lust, we should live soberly, righteously, and godly in this present age, looking for that blessed hope, the glorious appearing of the great God and our Savior, Jesus Christ. That's what grace teaches. It teaches you to deny ungodliness. It teaches you to walk away from sin. It teaches you to live for Jesus. It teaches you can make it. You can live for God. You can be an overcomer. You can be victorious. You can walk with God, and by the help of him and the power of his Holy Spirit, you can make heaven your eternal home. Hallelujah. It's where we want to be. So eternal life hangs upon the resurrection of Christ. Find later on in the New Testament. that a very dear friend of Lazarus in Jesus' earth, a very dear friend of Jesus in his earthly ministry was Lazarus. And Lazarus had died. And Jesus comes to Mary and Martha, Lazarus' sisters. And they're sad and they're weeping. They said, "Lord, if you'd been here, Lazarus would not have died." And Jesus said, "He will live again." And Mary and Martha said, "Yeah, we know, Lord, that in the resurrection, he will live again. We know that. We believe in the resurrection." And Jesus states to them, he says, "I am the resurrection and the life. He who believes in me shall never die." Praise God. Didn't mean they wouldn't die physically, but never die spiritually. And that is the thing. To die without Christ in his life is to die spiritually. And the spiritual death is eternal, just like life is eternal if you make it to heaven, if you go to heaven. Amen. And so at conversion, when you're born again of God's Spirit, there's a resurrection. The Spirit inside of a person is born and given the gift of eternal life. Romans 6:23, the wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life through our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Those living when Jesus comes will experience resurrection life in a powerful way. Man, one fellow told me one time he was discouraged about his church. There just wasn't any worship much there, no life there. And he told me, he said, "My church is going to heaven before yours." I said, "Oh, really?" I said, "Okay." He said, "Why do you say that?" He said, "The Bible says the dead in Christ will rise first." Amen. But those who have died in Christ, their spirit and soul immediately went to be with the Lord, where their body is still in the grave. But there will come a day at the coming of the Lord, Jesus Christ, when everyone will experience a resurrection. If you're still alive when Jesus comes, you'll be transformed, changed in a moment, in the twinkling of an eye. You'll be caught up to meet Christ in the air. But the dead in Christ are going to rise first. Amen. 1 Thessalonians chapter 4, the Lord himself shall descend from heaven, not maybe, shall descend from heaven with a shout, with the voice of the archangel, with a trumpet of God. Amen. Old Testament trumpets were used to gather people. Certain sounds of trumpet would gather people to a particular place to announce to them or to show them things that were happening in that nation. But I want to tell you something, friend. There's going to be a gathering at a trumpet sound that's greater than any gathering has ever been upon this earth. Amen. Praise God. I wish that was it. That'll work. Sound of a trumpet. The dead in Christ shall rise first. We which are alive and remain shall be caught up together with them in the clouds to meet the Lord in the air. And so shall we ever be with the Lord. Therefore, comfort one another with these words. That's not just a funeral passage. That's a passage of scripture for all of us to hope in. We do not know where we'll go by the way of the grave or by the rapture of the church. Either way, if you're right with God, heaven will be the next place forever. Amen. The only place you want to be forever. Amen. What sense does it make for a person to live all their life knowing they're going to hell and rejecting Jesus Christ? It doesn't need to be you. It didn't have to be me. It didn't have to be you. God made a way for all of us. He's not willing that any should perish, but all should come to repentance. That means you. That means me. Praise God. God loves and God cares for all of us. And he's given eternal life to whosoever will.